I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again, cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and today's Mompreneur Model Show. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week just breaking those myths that mompreneurs, you know, dabble in business in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart businesswomen finding that balance between building a business and raising a family, and very often raising that family leads to building a business. So it's kind of interesting how they'll all overlap. And I'm excited today to be sharing Amanda Vanderglick, who is a homeschooling mom of two young kids. And she began her website, teachingchildrenaboutmoney.com, in March of 2008, because she noticed that one main subject that was missing in school for our kids is how to manage their money and make it work for them. And her own money expertise comes from her own trials, errors, and successes with building businesses and investing in real estate and other ventures. And she really wants to help kids get a jump start on their financial education so that way they can actually avoid becoming another one of those tragic statistics of young children, people, adults going bankrupt. And her mission is simply to empower children to go for their dreams and have the power over their money by learning how to effectively earn it, manage it, and give some of it away to their favorite charities. So I'm really excited about having her here. So welcome to Word of Mom Radio, Amanda.
Thank you so much, Dori. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks. So I would love, I mean, I gave kind of a bio of what, you know, who you are and what you do, but I would love for you to take us on your journey, because it's one thing to realize that there's something missing, it's another thing to actually decide to do something about it. So I'd love for you to share it with us.
Well, to give you an idea, I have always loved connecting with children and teenagers from as young as when I was a kid. I was always one of those kids in school that hung out with the younger grades to help them through. I guess it comes to the fact that I had a very quiet and shy younger sister, so I was very used to being that role model, being that person to help empower and strengthen and stick up for. And so as I grew up, I just noticed that that was definitely a natural passion and desire of mine, was to empower kids. And then as I became an adult, I realized I hated working for other people. I loved being my own boss. And what if I could empower kids and teens, not just by helping them like I had been with their reading and their math and just social skills. I thought, what if I were to actually teach them something that they're definitely going to need to know as an adult, how to manage money? And I don't mean just boring, you know, economic information of how to balance a checkbook or how to write a check, but I meant how to actually teach them to take money and make it work for them so they don't have to work for the rest of their lives for money, but have their money working for them. Anyway, and that's how I started. So thank you for asking that.
So your website, you know, teachingchildrenaboutmoney.com. It's
yep.
Really a fun site. It's fun. It's got, you know, and I like that, you know, you pop up in a video talking to kids. I mean, did it kind of surprise you when you ask kids where money comes from? You know?
Oh, some of them definitely surprised me. I mean, some of them I kind of assumed kids may have an idea of some of the answers they gave, but some of them threw me for a loop. One of them in particular was so funny. So what I did, just for your listeners so that they realize what video it is you're talking about, I actually interviewed a bunch of kids. I was traveling at the time, so I was between New Zealand and Canada. So I've interviewed a couple of kids from both New Zealand and Canada. You can hear it by their accents as well. And I asked them, so where does money come from? Because I thought, you know, this idea that kids just think money comes out of the wall, right? And some of the answers were absolutely incredible. I had one teenager. This is the one I was going to tell you about. She says, well, adults get money from gambling. And then she quickly throws in, but not my parents. You know, and I had this Oh, sorry, hang on one second. Sorry, Dory. And I had this one little boy, and he says, well, adults get money from the money shop. You know, there is no real understanding of, like, what is money, because all our kids see is they see us going shopping, right? And what do? We pull out a plastic card, whether it's our debit card or our credit card, and we pay for our bills. Very rarely do we ever pull out actual cash. And even if we do, still, it's just coming out of a wallet. They don't understand, where does that money come from? Where does it originate from? That there's actually effort, you know, work involved in getting it. So, yeah, if your listeners want a good laugh, make sure they hold on to their seats and go and check out that video, because there are some interesting things on there for sure.
Well, you know, and this is just a sidebar, and I don't remember where I heard this, but it's so true. It's like, you know, if money doesn't grow on trees, because we say that all the time, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, how come banks have branches?
I know.
Just a thought to throw out there. You know?
It's so true. I like to do a different spin on it, though, and say that, you know what, money does grow on trees if you know which trees to plant. You know, you plant an apple tree and you've got an apple business, right? So I like to expand the natural ideas that we tend to have as a society, because we get so trained in these ideas of money is hard to come by, money doesn't grow on trees. And I like to expand people's, especially children and teenagers, because they're so open to new ideas, to change that mentality. And I'll get more into that healthy wealth mentality in a little bit. But just to give you a little snippet, let's be careful what we say to our kids.
Well, now, I want to know, you have all these different lessons that you share in the different, I mean, there's some great takeaways on your website. And what do you do to keep kids motivated as they're actually, you know, because let's face it, they're in school to learn. How do you make it fun for them to actually learn about this?
Exactly. And then, let's face it, really, if you went to school and you're like, oh, I have to learn about money. Like, it comes across as this idea that, oh, this is a boring subject. But it's not. You know, money is a tool. In itself, it is nothing. But it is a tool, like a hammer. By itself, it's just lying there doing nothing. But if we take it and we grab it, we can build a house, you know? So money is this tool to get to whatever your end desire is. And so the way that I inspire kids to actually want to learn about money is I start them off with goal setting. If they actually have a specific goal in mind, maybe it's a trip to Disney World. Maybe they want to buy their own robotic helicopter. You know, whatever is interesting to your child, you get them to create this goal about what do you want to either earn money for to buy, or what do you want to travel to. You get something where money is tied to it in order to get that goal. And then they have something to work toward. And you get them to put pictures up, you know, of that helicopter, and maybe go to a store and actually hold the helicopter, take a picture of it so that they can put that up and see themselves actually having that. They have a goal in mind, and it opens them up like sponges, and they just want to learn because they want to get to that goal. So that's how I get kids, and especially teenagers, you know, with their teenage attitude of, oh, do I have to do this? Well, if they know by learning money they can get their own brand new iPhone 6, then they're going to be more motivated.
So where do you come in with allowances? I know that right now it's a big debate going on, so what side of the fence do you come down on when it comes to allowances?
That is a huge debate, absolutely. Now, I grew up as the daughter of an entrepreneur. My father had his own business, and my mom also had her own side businesses that she did. And so I always grew up in this mentality anyway of, if you want money, you have to earn it. You know, you don't just get it, you have to earn it. So when I had my kids, my automatic instinct was, you can't give an allowance because they haven't really earned it, right? You don't just give money for free. And so I was teaching people, don't give an allowance, don't give an allowance, you know, make them find a way to earn their own money. And I still stand by that. But what I learned over the process of the years that I've been doing this is that, just like being a parent, you need to be flexible and change and go with what's going to work for you. Now, you mentioned that a homeschooling mom. So I homeschooled my children for over 12 years. I've only just put them in the schooling system last year because they wanted to have the experience of school, and our family life is all about experiences. So as a homeschooling parent, you hear constantly people's opinions about whether it's good or it's bad, when in truth it simply is. It's neither good nor bad. It simply is whatever you make it. So one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was, if somebody was going to question me in a very negative way about homeschooling, was just to turn to them and say, well, this works for us. And the same is true with allowances. So I still have a very strong opinion about allowances. I want kids to still earn their money so that they feel that they've accomplished it. It's not just a handout every week. They just get $5 or whatever. So what I did, actually, Dori, is I created this ebook, and I asked 25 of the top money experts around the world, and they each donated a chapter on their beliefs of allowances, and I put it together like a workbook so that parents could actually go through it and then pick the pros and the cons and find out what was going to work best for them. Because in the end, they just need to have money in order to learn how to manage it. So how they get it, whether it's an allowance or not, needs to be a family choice.
See, now in our house,
I hope that answered that.
It's funny. I was a huge proponent of chores. You know, of course, chores don't become chores until kids actually realize that people do this to get paid. You know, in the beginning, chores for the first 9 years of my kids' lives, they were big enough to help mommy do something else.
Exactly.
It wasn't until they were about 10 and a half that they realized, wait a second, this is work and people get paid. And so that's actually how, that's when a quote unquote allowance came in. But my kids, I mean, when I tell you, they mopped the floor, they vacuumed, they dusted, they did the dishes, they worked, they did their own laundry. And now allowance came into play. And once allowance came into play, when they wanted to buy something, the first time my son went to buy, we were out and he saw Spider-Man. He's like, well, mommy, can I have a Spider-Man? And it was $15, just under $15. I said, well, sure, that's 3 weeks of your allowance. And he was like, wait a minute, I have to pay for this? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, it's easy to spend mommy's money, but do you want it enough to spend your own? And he sat and he thought, and he was like, no, I don't. And I was like, right. I said, so it wasn't really something you needed. It was just more of something you wanted. So that's kind of, not knowing what I was doing, I was teaching my kids about earning money and saving money and what was good to buy and what was just a whim that they didn't need, you know. So
exactly.
I always came down, but I, like you, don't believe the kids should just get money just because they got money. Here, you're my kid, I'm going to give you $5. I think that they should earn it. I do.
Yeah. What a wonderful experience you gave your child. I mean, to think about that, for the rest of their life moving forward, you know, it's going to be like, now, is this something I really want to spend my money on? And most kids never get that. And that's why we have so much trouble of, you know, the kids, they go through the schooling system, they go through the high school, they go through the post, you know, secondary school system. And then suddenly, boom, they're in the world. And they have no idea. Because mom and dad paid for everything. Or the system paid for everything. And now not only do they not know how to make their own money or how to manage it, they probably have a huge debt from their university or college that they went to. So we're starting them off in a very bad position with a really high chance of early bankruptcy. Not to mention that one of the reasons, you know, one of the top documented reasons why people get divorced is due to money stress. You know, people not being on par with each other with their values about money. You know, so it's amazing. So yes, it is a tool that in itself is nothing, but how we work around it is everything. So let's give our kids a chance to know how to be in charge of it.
Well, you have, I know one of your ebooks, you've got a book with over 50 ways for kids to earn money. So care to share a couple of ways with our listeners?
Sure, I can give you a couple of sneak previews. Actually, I'll share two of the most successful ways that my children have done it. Because my kids, especially being a homeschooling mom, they got to be mom's guinea pig. So anything that worked got put into the courses, and anything that didn't work still got put into the courses to teach what doesn't work. So one of the things that I wanted to teach them is to know the difference between earning money and making money work for you. So earning money, they got to experience that by doing a lemonade stand. So they set up a lemonade stand. We had regular yard sales at my sister's, and we put a little table aside for my kids and her kids. and they would have to sit there, pour the lemonade, be, you know, invite the guests to come and get the purchase the lemonade and so on. And what they learned is, if I work, I get paid. And they also learned customer service, so that was really good. You know, if I'm pleasant, people want to buy from me. So that was a good learning. But they also learned that once the lemonade was gone, once the yard sale was finished, the money was stopping. Like, that was it. You work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. So I wanted them to get that understanding. Then I wanted to teach them a step further and teach them how to create passive income, how to leverage themselves. And in my course, I teach all about passive income and leveraging and all the aspects of money. And I wanted to teach them, how can you still get paid for lemonade when you don't have a stand going? And so that's a concept that was like, but if I'm not there, how can I get paid? So for the lemonade stand idea, to give our listeners here an idea, you set up a lemonade stand, you work it, you get paid. What if you set up a second lemonade stand? Well, you can't be at both, but your best friend could. And they don't want to be hassled with having to get the cups and the lemonade and figuring out the advertising. So you take care of all that, and then you share the profit. So now you're earning full amount on your lemonade stand and half the amount on the other lemonade stand. And your friend is happy because they didn't have to purchase into it. All they had to do was show up and get paid like an employee, right? And so that's one way of leveraging yourself, of branching out. So to take that a step further, what I do with my children were two different ways of creating passive income. The first is they wrote a book and they sell it on Amazon. So that taught them to do the work once and get paid for it, in this case through royalties and commissions, over and over again. That book is Remembering Candy. It was actually my daughter came up with the theme for it. Our dog passed away, Dory, and it was a very sad thing, yeah. And what we did is we created a celebration day. So my daughter later on said, well, what if I write a book about how to create a celebration day for your pet if they pass away? And she wanted to help other kids deal with the loss of a pet. And so that book is doing quite well for them. And the other way is videos. I don't know about you, Dory, but my kids love watching videos. And most of their friends love watching, you know, YouTube is like their favorite channel, right? And so I encourage them to create their own YouTube channels. In our case, it's a sub-channel under mine. And they created videos showing how to create crafts or talk about things they were interested in. And they post them on the YouTube channel. And then we allow advertising on those videos. And so what my kids are doing is they're learning how to offer free, good, interesting content and get paid ad revenue. So again, do the work once and get paid over and over. My daughter currently on her ads for her YouTube sub-channel is earning like over $10 a month, which I realize $10 doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're not doing the work, it's a lot. So
right.
Numbers game. Anyway, so those are two very simple ideas. And in the book, yeah, I've got over 50 different other ideas for parents and kids.
That's very cool. I love the idea of, you know, the lemonade stand and the second one.
Yeah,
leveraging. You know. Hey, what the heck? You know, kidpreneurs are a great thing. One of our sponsors on Word of Mom Radio actually shares that, how to teach children to be kidpreneurs.
Oh, good.
Which I think it's a wonderful thing, because the sooner our kids understand about what money does and how to earn it and how to make it last, because it, regardless of the tree that you plant, you still have to grow the tree.
It doesn't just happen overnight. Yeah, and we are indoctrinated in schools to get a degree so we can work for somebody else. Yeah. And so we do that, and we're loyal, and we're there for 10 years, and then suddenly they need to restructure you, and you're out of a job. And, you know, my daughter, if she left the videos as is and didn't touch them forever and a day, she went out, got a job, and got laid off at some stage in the future, she'd still have her $10 every month. You know what I mean? And, of course, over time, hopefully that would have grown to more. But that idea, it's that ability to go after your dreams, not dependent on someone else. There's nothing wrong with working for somebody. Absolutely not. We all need to have that experience and understand and respect both the employer and the employee and that whole system. But it's nice to be in control of your own life and not dependent on someone else to take care of you.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, let's face it. That's why I think mompreneurs, especially mompreneurs, we're the fastest growing business demographic, because
yes.
more and more women are realizing that they're paying a fortune for daycare to
yeah.
have someone else watch their kids. And, you know, so you have a two-parent family, two-parent income. One parent is paying for daycare. It's like, wait a second, why don't we save that money and start something else? And
exactly.
I'm a huge
and
fan.
Then, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and then you also have your children with you, learning the business with you, teaching the values you want them to learn.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I want to shift this just a little bit as a homeschooling mom. You know, believe my kids are grown and gone. But if I were having children today, I would be a homeschooling mom.
I absolutely loved it. And I miss it. But I also know that they are having so much fun experiencing something else. And the cool thing is seeing how they don't react to peer pressure the same way the other kids do. They have so much more self-confidence, and they are flexible and welcoming to all the other students. It's really neat.
How many years did you homeschool?
12 years.
Wow. Wow. You know,
from the day they were born is when
curious.
I counted. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's there you go. See, and you know what, it's funny, because I didn't homeschool. My kids are now 27, 25, and 23. But their
right.
playroom was set up like a preschool. And I was a stay-at-home mom, so I structured their day like school. This is what time we did this. If it was raining outside, we did indoor activities. If it was nice outside, this was our outdoor time, you know.
Right.
And I put them in pre-K more for the socialization and just getting used to somebody else's rules and how
right.
school rules are, as opposed to. But I was wondering, did you, as a homeschooler, did you get together with other homeschooling moms and put together, you know,
yes.
like school trips and things like that? I was always curious
we
about
did.
That.
Yeah, we did. Because to begin with, the first 7 years, we lived in New Zealand. And New Zealand is a huge homeschooling environment.
Mm.
And in our one town, it wasn't even a large town, we had over 60 families that were homeschooling. And so we
wow.
on Wednesdays, we'd have art classes together. Fridays, we went to swimming lessons. We'd literally sit along the side, watch the kids have the swimming lessons, and afterwards, we all went to the public swimming area and as families swam together for the afternoon. It was amazing. And we had moms and dads, and, like, it was fabulous. And then we came to Canada, which is where we're at right now. And Canada has homeschooling societies as well, or groups, but not in the area that we are. So I was finding it harder to connect because the other kids were all in school during. So we focused more on the after-school curriculum instead, you know, the after-school activities like dance, and we do lots of musicals and getting involved with our community that way. So yes and no is the answer to your question.
Hmm. I would have thought, you know, it's so funny because I know when my kids were younger, every once in a while, and I would usually do it on parent-teacher day where they had a half day at school, and so they were going to be in school for 2 hours and 55 minutes because that made it a technical school day. I would
right.
just call school and say, oh, you know, everybody woke up with a cough, because the first time I said, you know, I'm going to take them into Manhattan to go to the museums, they were like, that's not a legal absence. I was like, they all woke up with a cough. That works, Dory. You know, and I would take my kids into the city to go to the museum. I'm a museum hound. I would take them on spring break every year down to Washington, D.C.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
So I have always found it fascinating to be a homeschooler because of all of the hands-on things that you can teach your kids, you know, right along in with those lessons that you're teaching them. So it had to really
yeah.
be fun. And I'm sure your kids definitely, you know, unbeknownst to them, or perhaps they knew, were also guinea pigs in how to make it
absolutely.
Fun. You know, I mean, because how do you teach kids? Here's a question for you. How do you teach kids how to manage their money and about wealth and having a good money without making them feel like you're telling them what to do?
Exactly.
How
well,
do you make it sound like their own idea?
Fun. Yeah, exactly. So that's actually a two-part question, so I'll answer the both for you. Because I'll get back to this one in a minute, but I'll just touch on it. Do you? So you don't like being told what to do, right?
Most people don't.
Because I sure don't. So what I find works best for myself and for the children and the teenagers and the adults that I have met is storytelling. You take the pressure off of the learner, and you're not saying, okay, you have to do it this way. You bring it across as in, well, John did this and this happened to him. So what are your thoughts on that? You know, and you, especially if they get really involved with John and they learn to love him and they love the fact that he skis or, you know, you make it really personal. Now they're going to learn when John makes mistakes and when he has successes, they're going to cheer for him. And without realizing it, learning all those lessons. So I incorporate that storytelling method in my course. But yeah, I'll get back on that. The other part of the question is the money management. You know, how do you get them excited about that? Well, instead of just saying you have to save your money and that's it, which, you know, kids to the working, they save their money and they never get to spend it. That's no fun. I created the 6 magical piggy bank money management method. And so I teach them to take the money that they learn, that they earn, not that they learn, but and separate it into 6 different piggy bank jars. Especially when they're younger, I literally had them create their own piggy banks, either using toilet paper rolls or just jars from the dollar store. But it's nice if it's clear so they can see the money building up. And these are the 6 different jars that I have. One is grow. And that money you're saving aside to grow, that's the money that we want to create passive income out of. That's your seed money, so to speak. So if you're going to have a lemonade stand, that's going to be the money you buy your lemonade and your cups with, you know. Or if you're going to do a YouTube video, it's the money you're saving up to buy your video camera with, you know, that kind of thing. The next one is the give jar, because part of being very successful with money is learning how to let it go. If you're Scrooge and all your concern is, oh, I have to hang on to it, you're actually sending a message out to the universe that money is very scarce, that it's easy to lose, and guess what's going to happen? You're probably going to have a time in your life when things go to custard. If you learn from a young age to give part of it away, there's this abundant mentality that you're sending out, and it So by giving, you always hear about people giving to charities. Yes, you're helping the charities, but you have no idea how much you're helping yourself by doing it. So much more than the charities you're helping. So it's like a win-win-win situation. The third jar is the learn jar. So that's the money you're setting aside so that if you want to go to post-secondary, if you want to go to college or university, you've got your money there. Or if you want to learn about something, maybe your child has an interest in astronomy, right? We just had this beautiful lunar eclipse the other night. Maybe they wanted to save up money for a telescope because they wanted to learn about the stars. So the learn jar is really for any kind of learning going forward. And then the rain jar is for your rainy days. Dory, have you ever had problems with your car that you weren't expecting? You know, when suddenly you hear from the mechanic who says, I hate to tell you this, but you need new tie rods. And you're like, what? I need what? And he says, no, it's okay. You don't really need them unless you want to drive, because if you don't get them, your car is going to fall apart. And you're like, ah! And most people have not saved money aside for that. And it becomes this big, huge burden. So what if we had a rain jar that we just always put a little bit away in, never touched it, but it's there for those rainy days? And then the last two are the most fun for the kids. One is the goal jar, and that's where you're saving up for something specific, so like a trip to Disneyland, or it could be something smaller, like this brand new bike that you saw at the shop that you really want to have, this brand new bicycle. And the last jar is the one that keeps your kids motivated to learn about money, and it's called the fun jar. And it is the one that is specifically geared at instant gratification. Most money experts that you are going to listen to out there in the world will say, you can't have instant gratification. It's a very bad thing. I like to say, let's save some money aside that we have to spend every month on fun stuff. You know, go to the store and get yourself some bubble gum, you know, or go out to a movie, just last minute kind of thing. We have to enjoy our money so that the kids, especially, they get that motivation of, I want to do more. So those are my jars in a nutshell for you.
I like those jars. And on that note, we are going to pause for our sponsors and to just hear a little word from them. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
It was fall when my world came crashing to a halt. In that instant, everything changed. Life changes are to be expected, aren't they? Seasons change, years come and go, and so do we. I'm Dr. Christina Hibbert, author of This Is How We Grow. What happens when I, a clinical psychologist, an expert on women's mental health, postpartum depression, grief, and parenting, find my world turned upside down? After my sister and brother-in-law died, we inherited our two nephews, delivered our fourth baby, and went from 3 to 6 kids practically overnight. This Is How We Grow invites readers into my upside-down world as I struggle to find a little right side up. As a wise person once said, life is change, growth is optional. Choose wisely. What will your choice be? Choose This Is How We Grow on Amazon.com and visit me on my website at drchristinahibbert.com.
And meet Kathleen Ettinger, the owner of Teascapes, which is a mobile tea consulting business. Her tea business provides people with high-quality, healthy premium tea, tea accessories, and gourmet foods to enjoy in your home without having to go out to a specialty store. Teascapes provides information on tea and etiquette for a variety of occasions and provides in-home or on-site tea parties, which allow people to make time for themselves, friends, and family, and also support local charities at the same time. Kathleen believes everyone needs to make time for themselves, and tea is a wonderful way to enjoy the moment. And you could find her at teaandtimeforyou.com. And you can meet all of our sponsors at wordofmomradio.com and hit our Mompreneur Marketplace or meet our sponsors link and just meet all of the great women that are behind Word of Mom Radio. And we are back on the air with our guest today, Amanda Vanderklik, as we are talking about teachingchildrenaboutmoney.com. This is really, it's so fun to listen to the
sure
different
is
ways. And I love the jars. I really like this 6 magical piggy bank money management method. I really do. I think it's a great idea. For those of you just tuning in, you talked about the 6 different jars, the grow, the give, learn, and reign, your goal, and your fun. And I love that you plan for fun. Not that you
absolutely
can plan for fun, but,
that
you plan for it. Exactly. And I think that's where kids tune off, because money experts are teaching them all of these different things. And it's like, what about just like going out and having fun?
Exactly.
That's
how you keep them motivated. Otherwise, they're just not going to want to learn. It's just hard and boring, and we want to change that. We want to make them feel really excited about being smart with their money and seeing the fruits of their rewards, of their efforts, right?
Well, absolutely. And that, to me, is what is, it's so funny. And again, it just makes me think of my kids and, as we were growing up and my son, I had taken him down to Baltimore to the aquarium, and we were at the gift store, and he was like, "Mommy, may I have my allowance?" This is my oldest one. And I was like, "Honey, whatever you want, just let Mommy know." He's like, "Mom, I want my money, my allowance. I brought it. I asked you to hold it." And I didn't want him to spend it. I was like, "Okay, fine." And I gave him his money, and he was like, "I'll be right back. You can watch me from the door, because I want to do this myself." I was like, okay. So I'm standing there with my other two kids. And
yeah,
he comes back. He was 9. He comes back with this dolphin ring. It's these 2 dolphins, and a ring for your finger. And he was like, "Here, Mommy, this is for you. It's you and me forever." I still have it. It snapped last year. I've had this thing. My son is 27. He gave it to me when he was 9. And
wow,
I put it on and it broke. And I have the 2 pieces in my wallet. I keep it there. I'm serious. Every time I change my wallet, I keep it there, because someday I'm going to have somebody make me a duplicate of this ring.
That is so wonderful.
You know what it really was? And it was so special to him that he could buy this for me. And one of the things my kids never learned was that whenever they spent their own money, I always wound up giving them extra quote-unquote chores to earn more
right
money. They never realized that when they wanted something bad enough to spend their own money on, I let them spend their money, but then I always found a way for them to earn it back. And
that's
I'm glad
so
they
good.
Never realized it because, you know, if they had, they'd have been buying a lot more things. So I have to ask you, you mentioned at the top of the show a healthy wealth mentality.
Yes.
And I would really love for you to share what that is and how to get that.
Well, exactly. It is so critical. Okay, you can know how to manage money, but if you don't have a healthy wealth mentality, then you're still not going to be successful with your money. Your money is still going to be in control of you. What we tend to have is this idea of money is difficult to come by. It takes hard work to get money. So we are actually in training our children's brains to this idea that life is this huge struggle and that it's a simple, you know, it's either this way or that way, and there's no in between. And what I want to do is help change that focus and start asking questions. Well, why is it this way? Why can't we do things differently? So let me give you some examples. Excuse me. You know what? Let's go, since I know we have a lot of moms on the show, and I suspect, like myself, a lot of moms out there are concerned about their weight and their health of their bodies. And so we tend to focus on, I want to lose 20 pounds, right? I want to lose 20 kilos, which is obviously a lot more than 20 pounds. And so what we're actually doing is we're sending out this idea that we're losing weight, and our brains kick in and go, oh, my God, I can't lose. I have to get it back. So what happens is our brains will then start finding ways to make sure to hang on to that, you know, extra weight and to get it back, because we're actually saying out to the universe, to our brains, we're losing something and we don't want to lose anything. So even though we think we're on the right track, let's lose 20 pounds, what if we changed that focus and just said, look, I want to be my healthiest me. And you know what? I am my healthiest me already. So I am so happy and grateful for this wonderful body that I've been blessed with that allows me to wake up every morning and enjoy my day to the best of my ability. And I love it so much that I'm going to treat it even better. I'm going to walk more. I'm going to eat more nutritious food. Instead of focusing on losing a certain amount, focus on what you have and how to make it better. I don't know if that's a clear enough picture to give you an idea.
I think it's a great picture.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do now is switch it back to money. So I'm sure you've had this experience. I know I've definitely had this, and I remember hearing it all the time as a child. Even though my parents were entrepreneurs, they still had these ideas that they had learned from their parents and they had learned from their parents. So you'd go out to the store, and you'd see this, in my case, Barbie doll. And you'd be like, oh, I want that. Oh, mommy, can I please, can I have that? I promise it'll be really good. And she turns to you, and she says, I'm sorry, we can't afford that. And okay, so it's a truth. We can't afford it. Got it. But what are we actually teaching our children? First of all, we are not worthy enough to have something like that, because if we can't afford it, it means money did not come our way, and therefore we can't spend it, and money didn't come our way because we're not worthy of money. So there's this whole, you know, train wreck of ideas that are happening there. And it's so simple to switch, because yes, you may not have the money for it at the moment, but why train our children to believe that that's always going to be the case? Why not turn it around on them and go, it is a very nice doll. How could you get it? And put the responsibility back on them. And whenever we ask ourselves a question, our brains go into overdrive trying to answer it. So your child may come back first with, well, you could buy it for me. And then you laugh and you say, that's one way, but that way is not happening today. What's another way you could get it? And you start encouraging them to come up with ways that they could earn the money to buy it. And then just like the story you told, they'll start to realize, well, is this Barbie worth my time and effort, or shall I focus more on something I really want? So you're changing the way that they're thinking, and you're making it a healthier way to think. Instead of assuming that life is difficult and assuming that things are hard to come by, be in control ask yourself, well, how could I make this happen? Now it's no longer a we simply can't afford it. It's a, well, how could I afford it? I mean, yes, the fact is still there. We don't have the money today, but now you're changing your child's perspective. Well, how can I make it happen? Do you see what I mean there, Dori?
Yes, I do.
And
I like that.
So that's the kind of training that I teach through my course as well. I mean, there are many more ones, but I wanted to touch on that one in particular because I know that is one that a lot of us parents don't even realize we're doing because it was done to us all the time. You know, money doesn't have to be scarce. If our creativity is abundant, money will come to us. It's what we put out is what we get back.
Right? I like that.
So,
I like that. I like what you just said there.
Thank you.
I'm actually writing that down. If our creativity is abundant.
And then what we send out is what we get back. So if we
our
creativity is abundance, then the money will start flowing towards us as well. You'll have to send me that note because my brain is interesting at the moment.
I'm actually going to make a graphic out of that one.
Oh, I love it.
You know, it's so funny. I love it. Every once in a while, our guests will say that little pearl of wisdom that it's like, ooh, wait a minute, I got to do a graphic on that one. You know what?
Oh,
it's amazing
wonderful.
Because, you know, thoughts are things. That's what I always taught my kids. Thoughts are things. And if you think you can do something, you can. And if you tell yourself you can't, you know, it's just like you're saying, you know, the universe is wide open. It's going to give you whatever you ask for. As I mean, you can't, but on the flip side, so then you have those people that, so what do you do to those people that say to you, okay, fine. So I'm sitting here about thinking about being wealthy. Why aren't I wealthy? I'm putting out to the universe that I want to be wealthy. How come I'm not wealthy? It's like, well, you know, hello. You actually do have to work at it. You actually have to take the steps to make things happen, you know, but does it, you know, do you have to climb the Matterhorn or do you just have to go down the street is what you're putting on yourself, you know?
Exactly.
And that's where, so, you know, let's turn this around. What happens when you don't teach your kids? What happens when we don't learn those lessons young enough? And, you know, is it the bad habits? What happens?
Oh, my goodness. Well, then we get back to what I was mentioning before. You know, money, unfortunately, yes, it's just simply, it is in itself its own thing. It has no emotional connection. It has no livingness to it. It simply is. But trust me, not having money is a way bigger issue than having too much money. And trust me, that's an issue too, because you still have a lot of other problems. But you know what? I'd rather have problems having too much money than having problems having too little money. And I've been on both ends, so I know what I'm talking about. It creates stress. And stress, what does it do? It starts eating away at your body physically. You start getting ailments. You start feeling bad. So what happens, you start losing energy, and then life goes in this downward spiral. Money itself is nothing, and yet is everything because of how we as a society need it in order to survive. Like, we can't just grow a garden and go next door and say, hey, can I have a piece of meat and I'll give you this celery? Like, some of us are lucky enough to have that relationship with a few neighbors, but on a whole, that is no longer how we work as a society. And so we have come up with a system of money in exchange for services and products. And so we need to have that money to live a life that we want to have. And that's why I want to teach kids to think differently about it. Because, yeah, if we don't have it, if you don't learn about money, you're going to, especially in this day and age, kids just assume that everything is given to them. And on a side note, I suppose they're sending out a positive message to the universe that there is abundance. But, you know, it's really going to be tough on them because they're going to come out of their school system not having a clue. And they're just going to be used to spending money all the time because it just came in. And suddenly they're going to get the credit card companies calling them. They're going to get the IRS coming after them saying, you have to pay your taxes. You know, it's a big mess, and we can see it happening. We can see it happening in, like I mentioned, the divorce rates, the bankruptcy rates. I mean, I was reading somewhere the other day, the average age is like 25. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
The majority of people are that young who are filing for bankruptcy. That's scary. And it's time we start changing that. So,
wow.
In a nutshell again, let's start teaching them instead of putting it off. And don't expect the schools to do it because they have so much on their plates already. They have so many demands that even though they might want to teach it, they just don't have the resources available to them right now. And to be honest, they probably don't have somebody in a position of financial success to teach.
You know, it's interesting. I actually, when I was still in Connecticut, I spoke at a magnet school. It was Entrepreneurial Week. And
right.
I was speaking at different schools throughout the week. And, you know, I spoke at a bunch of different colleges. And then I went to this grade school. It was a primary school, kindergarten through eighth grade. And it was a magnet school. It was set up. It was its own city.
Okay.
And every grade had its own job, had a business that it ran. The seventh graders were the bankers. That was the banking industry, was in the seventh grade. The eighth graders were the government.
Wow.
And they were all the elected officials. I was actually, you know, walked around the school with the mayor of the school and the deputy chief of police. They had their own money system. The kindergartners, it was my favorite, they had the greeting card company. But, you know,
nice.
And I know. And with each grade, they had their own business that they had to begin. They had to learn how to earn the money for it, go to the banking system, open a bank account for it, this and that. It was an amazing thing. And the success rate of that school, I think it was either 93 or 95%
That's
of
incredible.
Their students graduated college.
That is amazing.
Yeah, in like the, you know, not great neighborhood in New Haven, Connecticut, blah, blah, blah. This, I was like, why isn't every school doing this?
Yeah.
Why? Isn't, I mean, this
a breath of fresh air.
I'm serious, but what a way to prepare your children for life at an age where they want to learn this, where they're just those little sponges. They haven't hit the teenage years of, well, you can't tell me what to do because, you know, let's face it, it's like, it makes me think of Mark Twain. You know, when he was 18, he couldn't believe how stupid his father was. And when he was 21, he couldn't believe how much his dad had learned in 3 years. You know?
Exactly.
You know, but I'm serious. This conversation has made me think of that school because they made learning such an interactive part of their day. And they, you know, did the same curriculum everyone else did. It was just set up in this democratic society where they earned money, they spent money, they had to manage their money, they had to elect their own government. You know, they were involved in every aspect of running their school. And businesses and things
difficult.
Like that. Yeah, I mean, in serious, it just made me think of this because here were these little kids. I was talking to them, all of the heads of the businesses of the sixth grades. And then, because like I said, seventh grade was the bank and eighth grade was the, you know.
Government, yeah.
Government. But, you know, even they were there with their representatives and talking to them. And it was mixed with a couple of college students that came in. These kids were dressed better than those college students were, asked more interesting questions. I had them all create a business plan. They had like a half an hour. Their business plans were more to the point, succinct, had all of the different elements in it. I was like, okay, guys, and here's what you can learn from a 10-year-old. You know, it was amazing. And I'm serious, what you're doing here with teachingchildrenaboutmoney.com is really kind of brought that up. Because you are making learning this fun, informative, interesting, intelligent. You know, you have all kinds of different offers and different things that I would love for you to share with everybody, all of the different things that they'll find on your website. And I know you have a free gift for one of our listeners. So please share all of this.
All right. Well, if they go to our website, then you're going to see that what I've decided to do is I wanted to give parents a tool to get started. So I've given a list of seven different tools and the parents get to choose one of those tools to have for free. Or you can get all seven for $7. I wanted to keep it really low and really affordable just to get parents started with some tools to help their kids learn about money. So I'll quickly go through the seven of the tools. The first one is a quiz that I created called How Money Savvy Is Your Child? Just to give you an idea of where your child is at in their financial education at the moment so that you have a better idea of what would be the next step. Then the next tool that I've got there is the Allowance Secrets to Give or Not to Give. And that's that book I talked about earlier so that your listeners here, they can go there, get that book, and finally figure out whether or not to give an allowance and know that there's an expert there to support them in their decision. The third one is the 50 money-making ideas for kids and teens that you mentioned. And I gave you a couple of those ideas, but feel free to choose that one and get a ton more ideas of how your kids can make their own money and stop using you like their personal ATM bank machine. The fourth tool is, it's a special workbook I put together, and it has to do with that, how do I get my child motivated to learn about money? It's called Goal Setting for Families. And I go through the goal setting process and how to make it fun and make it really vivid and real. And I actually go in much more detail about that healthy wealth mentality in that workbook as well. So definitely check that one out. And then I've got the six magical piggy banks that I spoke about. I created a cartoon about it. I have to admit that I am not the best illustrator in the world. So it is a stick figure cartoon, but I'm very proud of myself for having created a cartoon all by myself. And kids love it. So that's all that matters. They learn the message and they love the cartoon. And then I've got a video as well for the parents, the Six Magical Piggy Banks Money Management System, that goes in depth about the six magical piggy banks, how they work, how to make that work for your child. And the last tool that I have there is a mind movie for kids or for teens. And it's to get your child in that positive, wealthy mentality on a daily basis so that they're thinking the things like, how can I do things rather than I can't. So those are the seven tools I have on my website, on the main site. You choose your free gift, and then it will follow you up and offer you a chance to get my course, which is actually teaching children about money. It's my original course. It's about to be updated, so you won't have very long to get the original course. It retails for $97, but I have tons of different ways for payment options so that it's not going to be a problem for somebody who can't afford $97 right away. So it goes through teaching children about money from goal setting through to how to make their money. It goes much more in depth through all the different pieces of the puzzle of money and money management, teaching them about leverage and interest and compounding interest and taxes and all of that. The new course is actually going to guide you through, and guess what, Dori, what I'm going to do is anybody who decides to take me up on that course this week, I'll give you this, you know, today we've got Friday, so let me give you until next Tuesday. Anybody who decides to take the course by Tuesday, I will automatically upgrade them to my brand new Teaching Children About Money 2.0 course. It's 12 modules long. It's got stories and cartoons and audios and videos and workbooks and worksheets and novels. It's jam-packed. Again, the main theme is using storytelling to bring across the messages, but it's interactive. There are activities to do, and it's going to retail for $497. But anybody who takes advantage of the original course, I will upgrade them for free after that, so by Tuesday. So there you go, in a nutshell.
Wow, I'm actually typing out this to send it to our listeners and our mailing list and stuff. Money.com. So let everybody know how to find you as we are wrapping up here, because it's amazing how fast an hour goes.
Exactly. So the website is teachingchildrenaboutmoney.com, and they are more than welcome to email me directly, and that is amanda@teachingchildrenaboutmoney.com. And don't worry if I don't respond straight away. Family comes first for me, but I'm sure you'll hear from me within 24 to 48 hours.
And where are you on Twitter? And are you on Facebook?
So on Twitter, yep, Twitter, it's twitter.com/Amanda with a capital A, _ small V for Victor, small D for dog, capital G for George, ULIK. So Amanda_VD Gulick is on Twitter. If you do a Google search for Amanda Vandergulik, you will find links to my Facebook and my Twitter, and I tend to come up fairly well. You might see that I also have a niche in the cake decorating industry. I'm almost up to 500,000 views on one of my cake sites.
So wow.
I'm pretty easy to find on the internet. Yes. So on Facebook as well, feel free. I actually have a Teaching Children About Money Fans web, like a Facebook page. So if you just type in Teaching Children About Money Fans, you will find that one. And again, you can type in my name as well, and you'll find me there too. I can't promise to friend everybody because Facebook puts a limit on the amount of friends I can have, but you can definitely check out my my Facebook pages.
What is your course offered again that you're giving the upgrade to? Because I want to make sure I have this in here.
Yeah, so it's the Teaching Children About Money Home Study Course, which they will find once they choose a free tool. It'll lead them through to the next section of the website. And if they take advantage of that, then I'm going to give them till Tuesday to do that, and then I will go into my back office, and everybody who has purchased the original course by Tuesday evening, and now I'm in Eastern Standard Time, so I'll make it till midnight Eastern Standard Time, I will go in and I will upgrade you to the TCAM 2.0, so Teaching Children About Money 2.0 course, and you will love it, and you get it just for the price of the original, not the new price. So,
okay, so I'm going to let them, so, okay, I want to make sure that we get this out
there. And
then they
have to email me how much they love it, because it's still brand new and fresh to go.
All right, well, I'm really glad that you've been here sharing with us today, because I really think that this is something that a lot of parents are confused about and, you know, don't know what to do. And this is a great way for you to start your kids early to learn how to earn money, manage their money, encourage them to do well with it and to give it away. I love the giving it away, and I totally believe that. Here's a story from being, because I was a single mom since my kids were 6, 4, and 2. So, and I never let myself be bothered about money. I always believed it would be there. I worked hard, and I will never forget sitting in church, and the basket came around. I had $20 in my wallet, and that was it. And I was like, okay, you know what? The fridge is full of food. There's gas in my car. My kids are healthy. Everybody's good. I threw it in there. And
yay,
I got home, and turned on my answering machine. I was working with a multi-level marketing company at the time. And I had my rent's worth of orders on
yay.
That phone, you know, and that's what it boils down to. Because I believe that. I believe that with my whole heart, that the more you give away, the more you are going to get,
exactly.
You know, anytime you worry about something, you know, even if it's your last dollar and you've given your last dollar to somebody, guess what? You're going to earn another dollar. You're going to do it.
Yeah, it comes back.
Because
it comes
you believe
back.
It. You know, because, I mean, I see people sweat out money, and I listen to them, and it's like, well, I only have this much each month, and this, and I'm just, like, looking at them, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe you stress yourself out about something that is just being given to you. You have this because this is your monthly income that whether they're retired, this is your retired income, or it's all I have. It's like, and you have X amount of dollars more than a lot of people in this world, you know,
exactly.
And you know, no matter what, it's still coming in. So enjoy your money, enjoy your life. You create more abundance the more you attract it, because that's the life that you attract. And people laugh at me. I mean, you're my friend on Facebook. You see the kind of posts I share. I'm always in a good mood.
I love them.
And even when I'm not in a good mood, I get it back into a good mood. I just remind myself that it's too much energy not to be in a good mood.
Exactly.
And that, you know, and so that's what I do. I just think of Barney from How I Met Your Mother. When I'm not feeling good, I just remind myself to be awesome again.
I love it.
I know,
awesome,
but it's
sorry.
True. Oh, well, and you too. And I love, like I said, I mean, please go to teachingyourchildrenaboutmoney.com. You will
make
love
sure
the video that's there. Pardon?
Yeah, teachingchildrenaboutmoney.com.
Teachingchildrenaboutmoney.com. I just realized that after I said it. Yeah, teachingchildrenaboutmoney.com. And because you're going to have so much fun with that video, just your voice, your energy, all of it. There are so many things that we can give our kids, and you're sharing such a great way to do it, and I really appreciate it. So, Amanda, thank you for being here on Word of Mom Radio. To everybody listening, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you here next week with a whole new round of shows here on Word of Mom Radio. So until then, this is Dori DiCarlo saying bye for now. Go create a marvelous you.